You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Hi, welcome to Scam Wow Podcast. My name is Sue Smith and I love scams. You guys, I am flying solo today because I'm here to talk about some deeply important issues that, frankly, Caitlin just doesn't care about. She's tried really hard to care, but I'm the one who's passionate about them. So I've brought in some people who are also passionate about these issues. Please help me welcome back to the show the lovely, the wonderful Mackenzie Thomas.
Hi.
Welcome.
Yay. Happy to be here.
And we also have another special guest that we have corrupted into being concerned about these issues. And it is producer Kate.
Hello.
Welcome. I'm here. I'm always here. But this time I'm talking.
She's talking. Yeah. So we've also corrupted them. Wait, before I get started, I have to touch base on a couple of things of life. The first one is, did you guys watch Broken on Netflix?
Yes, yes, yes. I watched the first episode last night.
It's so good, right?
It's so good. It's so, and scary.
Can you explain it to those of us who don't know what this is?
So it's a series about consumer shit that's fucked up. So each episode is a different thing. One is about the IKEA, how it fucked up the furniture industry. But the first episode is the makeup industry and fake makeup and stuff. It's so bad.
It's so interesting. They show, so it breaks down every single aspect of the fake counterfeit makeup. And they go to Santee Alley in LA and they show lab tests on this fake makeup. And it's so crazy. And they go to China. It's so good. I really recommend it. I got so into it last night.
The gist of it is don't buy makeup off the street because that shit has super glue and
poop.
And poop and Drano in it, all kinds of weird
horse pee.
And
horse
pee. Yeah. So
okay, but if horse pee works and makes my face look
good. No. This girl had her lips super glued together.
All right, never mind.
And she had blisters on her lips from it.
Yeah.
So gross.
From a fake Kylie Jenner lip kit.
Okay, yeah. But did her lips look plump?
They looked plump and also infected and pussy.
All right, fine. All right,
but
fine.
They were plump. Were plump. Yeah.
Okay, great.
No, I get it.
It's
Austin's
crazy.
Austin was watching it with me and he was like, who even buys this stuff? And I was like, I have.
Oh my God.
I've bought that shit from the street in New York for sure.
Yeah.
Because of course, especially I think in 2014, I think the most counterfeited makeup palette I've ever seen is the Too Faced chocolate bar palette.
I was going to say the Naked palette.
And the Naked palette. Everybody wanted to have them, just have them, you know?
It retails for $50 and they were selling it for $20. So it's what are you going to do?
Yeah.
I know that there's a similar industry for fake purses.
Yeah, that's kind of what they were talking about as well.
Gotcha.
But the makeup, they were saying the makeup is more dangerous because it's, they said it was more popular than narcotics. Or like
that makes sense.
The
that
makes industry. Sense. That's insane.
I mean,
everybody loves makeup.
Sometimes if you have really good makeup, you get free narcotics. So those industries are boosting each
other. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Maybe this is a bigger conspiracy that Shane Dawson needs to investigate.
Yeah. If you look good, you're going to get drugs. So
yes.
I mean, that's been my experience.
No, that's you make a valid point.
Yeah, that is a good point.
I have one more housekeeping thing, and it was brought to our attention by the one and only Mackenzie Thomas. In our last episode, we speculated. We were like, what the fuck is the Queen of Versailles doing right now? What has she been up to? And actually, she's been up to some good stuff, if you can believe.
Yes. Yes. I'm obsessed with the Queen of Versailles. I saw the documentary 3 times in theaters when I was like 10. I love the Queen of Versailles. I love the Queen of Versailles. It is one of my favorite documentaries of all time. I love the woman that made the documentary. Mm. She just came out with another documentary called Generation Wealth.
Recently. Oh, I've seen the previews for that.
It's fantastic. I really recommend it. It's on Amazon Prime. But the seagulls that are featured in the documentary, they lost their daughter suddenly to a drug overdose. One of their older daughter, she was featured in Queen of Versailles. She had like red hair. Mm-hmm. She kind of looked like a scene kid, whatever. She overdosed, and it was a shock to the whole family, and it's so sad. And so the seagulls have been putting all of their money into Narcan.
Wow.
In Florida. Yeah.
In Florida.
Wow.
And that's, so great. They've been a big part of distributing Narcan to, I guess, facilities that give it out and stuff. And I think they are terrible, awful people, period.
Yeah.
But I think that's so, so amazing that they're doing that because it is so heartbreaking and so sad. They're also. Yeah.
Florida's really bad with that, too.
Yeah. It's so scary. They also published pages from their daughter who passed diary where she's talking about drugs and suicide.
They published the whole diary like as a book as well.
Wow. Yeah. And it's like so shocking and scary what she's saying. And I just think that's like so interesting. I got really wrapped up in that news story because I love the Queen of Versailles documentary and it's just like so tragic, but also good for them.
Mm, yeah. Thanks for bringing that to our attention, Mackenzie.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into something that's way more meaningless.
So meaningless.
Mackenzie, as our YouTube and pop culture correspondent, can you give us a brief overview of who Shane Dawson and Jeffree Star are?
Okay. Shane Dawson is a very prolific figure on YouTube. I was fucking terrified of him when I was a kid.
Why?
Because I used to like try to watch his videos, but the humor was so fucked up and it would like literally scare the living daylights out of me. Like he's somehow remained like this huge, huge person on YouTube. He started off with sketch comedy. That was not my thing. It was so problematic, so scary, so bad. And then he started doing like these mukbang like food videos. Mm-hmm. And I remember I would watch them when I was getting ready in the morning for high school because he would just talk for like 15 minutes and eat. I guess I was in the right place at the right time because then he just started making these documentaries and these longer series that kind of blew up and became like a phenomenon on the platform.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other hand, we have Jeffree Star.
Who's Jeffree?
Jeffree Star is kind of like a mythical creature of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that is completely impervious to cancel culture. Completely able to dodge every single bullet that is thrown at him. I don't understand how. I don't understand why. A makeup mogul, millionaire, but also a YouTuber. Also Pomeranian father.
I must say that I made Katie, when Katie was in California, I made her watch some of the series. And when just seeing Jeffree Star, she was like, who is this man? He looks like an alien or like a skeleton. She was like, he's
literally
weird.
Mythical.
Which is true. She couldn't take it.
I Jeffree Star was somebody that I never really connected to because I was never that big into big makeup looks. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I don't fucking know how to do eyeshadow and all that shit. I don't. But I really always loved YouTube drama because it is the best type of drama in the world. I think it because it's so stupid and contrived. And, like, all these people are just so intense about really dumb things. And it's just perfect. It's mindless. I love it. And people make videos about YouTube drama. So you can watch that video. And you can watch the video that the drama stemmed from. And, like, oh, I love it. I love it. I love it all.
We have Shane Dawson. We have Jeffree Star. They each have all – both have tens of millions of followers on YouTube. Shane has been making these, like, mini documentary series on different YouTubers. So he makes one on Jake Paul saying, is Jake Paul a psychopath?
Yeah.
Which he is. And then he makes one on TanaCon, which is how we got introduced to him and to TanaCon.
Yes.
And
how- but as Caitlin would say, Tana.
Tana.
TanaCon.
TanaCon.
She's here in spirit.
Yes, she's here in spirit. Tana, Tana, I don't know. That's what she would say. Tansy.
Tanya.
Tanya. So
Tanya Harding.
Shane is making these documentaries. He's problematic in his own way because his sketch comedy, he has worn blackface. He has been on YouTube for 10 years. He made some cringy videos like 10 years ago. He joked about fucking his cat, which people, he's not a squeaky clean guy, but yet he plays the underdog and the victim. Then we have Jeffree Star, who also has tens of millions of YouTube video viewers, but is also problematic because there are videos of him using the N-word and like being generally misogynist, I think, right?
There's also a video of him that wasn't spoken about. Jeffree Star like spit in the face of one of his fans. He threatened to throw battery acid on a black woman in like a sketch. Like, I guess it was, I hate to say a joke, but I don't think that's funny.
Yeah.
He used to go crazy, crazy with this racial humor that like I don't like at all.
But somehow impervious to cancel culture.
Maybe
it's gay men. I can't be canceled. I don't know.
I don't know.
If I could say my discovery of this whole situation, I only watched it because you guys were doing an episode about it. And I went into it thinking that Jeffree Star was a blatant racist. And I wouldn't say that's totally true. Mm-hmm. I think it's very like nuanced and that's probably why he gets a pass for a lot of things. But I also like he comes from kind of an identity that I know very closely, which is like the Warp Tour kid.
The MySpace, the Hot Topic.
Yeah, the Hot Topic kid, like the like really into Taking Back Sunday and like the early 2000s. And I, being from Florida, like that was my culture for sure. And so he represents like a lot of people I grew up with. And there was part of it where I was like, I totally see how you don't think that you're being problematic because everyone in that culture
does
is
the
so,
same thing.
Yeah, and it's like really sourced from self-hatred.
Yeah. Maybe you know? That's what it and is. So, these guys
but
hate
that's
themselves.
Not
so
to
much.
Give him an excuse.
But that's
I
also
just
what
like,
I don't
I
get.
Get
that's also what I don't get. Because if it comes from self-hatred, it's like, why would you say this word that makes people upset?
I just mean to say like, I know kids who would say incredibly terrible things just to like, you know, and would also like joke about suicide and would also say shitty things about women just for like shock value because they themselves were being bullied and they were like, you know, it actually is kind of the same mentality of like active shooters, not to bring that up, but it is like that. That's that genre of person.
Yeah. But wait, usually what do you mean? Dude. Tell me a little more. I get it. But what do you mean?
Like a bullied, downtrodden, like a mental illness that's not being treated because of toxic masculinity, kind of homophobia.
You hurt me, so I'm gonna hurt you more.
Yes.
I'm gonna hurt you.
Yes, and then painting over that like Hot Topic, which is very like punk rock and anarchism and you know, like kill the man.
Yeah.
And so, all those things like married together equals somebody who can, I think, escape cancel culture a little
bit. Yeah.
And it's so bizarre.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe it's because these guys, these like straight white men are like, we all feel like, oh, you've never experienced this pain. So here you go. We're going to cancel you. But like these people who have been pain and broken and been through and self-hatred, we're just like, we sympathize with you, so we're not going to cancel you. I don't know.
Maybe.
It's a weird thing that happens, I think.
Yeah. I also think a lot of racism lives in the LGBT culture without consequence.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
You know?
How so? I know what you mean, but how so?
Like racism and misogyny. I think LGBT culture, the narrative of it is mainly white men.
Yeah,
and because they have one thing that marks them as an underprivileged class, then it gives them like a pass.
Well, also it's like I see all the time, like it's like black slang that gets passed around and like used and then all of a sudden appropriated by white gay men and then from that to white women
like yas, queen,
it's
slay, all of that,
you
comes
know
from.
language that would people would probably say is like, oh, that's so like, ugh, like, and like snub their noses at. But then immediately white people start using it, white gay men and then white women. And then it's like on t-shirts that moms wear to yoga.
It's a form of colonization, which is a whole other podcast.
Shit. A year ago, Shane makes one of these documentaries on Jeffrey being like, oh, he's misunderstood. And he tends to make these documentaries on like problematic people that he knows will get views, that he wants to like show the other side of them. So they make like a three part documentary of them like a year ago. Jeffrey has a makeup line, which is in Ulta, and it's huge. And he used to be a makeup artist. He's famous for makeup videos, which is huge. So during that documentary, they're talking about makeup production. And Shane is like fascinated by it. And then Shane's like, what if I make a makeup? But probably in September, Shane releases this new series. It's supposed to be 9 parts about Shane making a palette. We were told like all summer he was editing this, and allegedly it was edited before it was released. But then right before he released it, he went back and re-edited the whole thing, and it just turned into a shit show. So it ended up being 7 parts about the making of his own palette. And that's where we are today. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yes. Yes.
So,
well, over the summer,
yeah,
it was being filmed.
Yeah.
And that's when Dramageddon 2 happened.
Dramageddon 2. What is Dramageddon
1? Okay, so Dramageddon 1 was something that happened over Jeffree Star, Gabriel Zamora, Nikita Dragon.
Yes.
And it
I don't know.
Was like it feels like it happened light years ago, but it was really like 8 months ago. It was over like this photo of all of Jeffree Star's like ex-friends, and they were all like giving the middle finger to the camera, and the caption was like, bitch is bitter because we're doing better without him. Okay, so like whatever. But Dramageddon 2 started with Tati Westbrook making a video called Bye Sister, talking about James Charles, it was like this super
sugar bear hair
Coachella.
I want to speed through this because we talked about this on another episode, so I don't want to like get too repetitive on this.
Oh, right.
But so through the summer, as this sugar bear hair thing is, this drama is unfolding, Shane is teasing this series and saying that he's basically alluding that he's going to talk about this drama and that his perspective on it and Jeffrey's perspective on it, and that's teasing the series to us, so we'll watch his series, right?
Yeah. And like people were I was so excited to watch it because I was like, they're gonna be talking about Dramageddon, it's going to be this whole thing, like, oh my god, holy shit, like it's about to be crazy. But it wasn't at all.
He loves to be like the Dr. Phil, but he wants everyone to like him real bad.
Yeah, but like Dr. Phil goes hard. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. He was very sympathetic.
I do think the ultimate scam of Shane Dawson's documentaries is we spend half the time watching his life.
So much time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And his relationships.
With Rylan. Where's Morgan? I want more of Morgan.
I love her. I love her. Wait, I'm going to get to that. So we're at this place where we've just watched 7 hours about this palette. There's no drama.
Yes.
People are mad for a number of reasons. He gets people amped up to get these palettes through. It's like a 7-part advertisement, basically.
He's the biggest YouTuber on the platform.
Yeah.
of course people were going to buy the palette, you know.
He gets people super excited, and then on launch day, the site crashes and Shopify doesn't work. And Kate, you said something interesting about Shopify.
Right. So I remember I was watching like maybe the Instagram story, or I was watching a YouTube video. I might have been watching a Jeffree Star YouTube makeup tutorial, because I won't lie to you, I'm watching
it's entertaining.
It's entertaining. Also, I'm learning about makeup, and I've never been into makeup before, and that's kind of exciting for me.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I love trash.
In my 30s, I'm like, makeup's great. But anyway, he was talking about how Shopify crashed, how there was so much traffic during the launch at whatever day, November 1st, at the whatever time, that Shopify that was handling all their transactions crashed. And I'm watching this. My husband, who works in marketing and branding and has worked with Shopify and a number of other like transaction engines to deal with like discount codes mm-hmm. and like Black Friday sales and whatever. He was like, no. And he was like, how many units are they trying to sell? And I was like, oh, it's supposed to be like 1 million, but all at one time. And he's like, no, Shopify handles millions every second.
Yeah. Really?
It's pumped. Yeah, it's pumped into the back end of so many sites.
And, he was and like, stores.
He was like, this is like a blip to them. Like, they absolutely can handle that traffic.
Really?
They blamed in the documentary, like, Jeffree. I get very scared when Jeffree Star gets mad. It is fucking terrifying.
Yeah. It does seem
he
scary.
Was like, yeah. He was like on the phone with this guy from Shopify blaming the website crashing on Shopify. And he was like, what did he say? Like, something like, I this is launch day. Everybody's so excited for this palette, and you mean to tell me that the mini palette wasn't on the website? And like, it was not Shopify's fault. That's probably your website's fault.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like your website provider.
So in the final episode, in episode 7, Shane shows people who are like literally waiting at their computers and crying for hours all over the world waiting for this launch. And then apparently Shopify fucks up and can't do it. But it's a conspiracy, because Shopify
definitely
can do it. I don't know.
If someone were to crash Shopify, that would be like, it would have to be a monumental thing.
It's like, I really? Think it would be the equivalent of like eBay crashing. You know, or even Amazon, like Shop or Etsy, like Shopify's pretty up there in like competition with all of those. And also, traffic isn't necessarily coming to Shopify. Shopify's on the back end processing things. Traffic is coming to the website and the domain, and that lives on a different server.
Yeah.
So
it was
that's
so
more
dumb.
Of a hosting problem than a.
I wonder why they're blaming Shopify.
They can.
I'm not. That
I think maybe
them.
They don't know. Yeah. I think they're not that smart when it comes to tech stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
They probably don't know. And they want somebody to blame. So people are mad because of Shopify. People are mad because their orders are taking too long. So like a lot of people still haven't got their orders. And it launched like, I don't know, on mm-hmm. November 3rd, maybe.
There's fibers and hairs.
Also, there's hair in the palette.
I don't think it's fibers, but I think it's like weird stringy fibers. There's been a lot of problems with the quality of the palettes. I know some people got them and some of the shadows were cracked.
Well, I don't know why I'm a Jeffree apologist, but Jeffree said it was only 35 out of a million that had fibers.
Well,
in them.
I feel like we're not going to know because until people hit pan on the eyeshadow.
Yeah.
You know, so 35 out of a million seems kind of like a low estimate. Like, I mean, okay, this is coming from Jeffree Star, who literally read Jaclyn Hill to filth when her lipsticks had bubbles in them.
Yeah, to filth.
It does resemble other scammers that you guys have seen on the show. The idea of talking about your own stuff as if it's infallible, like Theranos and things like that.
He did show on his Instagram story, again, I don't know why I'm an apologist for him, but he showed the actual making of the eyeshadow, and they put a thing in between it, like a piece of cloth in between it when they're pressing it. So if the cloth isn't changed, then a teeny tiny fiber can get in or something. But he showed it on his Instagram story. I don't know. Is this whole thing a scam? To get us to buy eyeshadow.
Yes. I think the whole series.
My vote is yes.
Is a scam. Like, I really, really do.
You wanted
and
the drama.
They had all this hype. I don't care about the palette. I don't give two shits about the palette. I don't. I want the drama. Mm-hmm. I want to know these back end conversations about James Charles. You know, I want to know what everybody was thinking. I want to know what happened. I want to see the tears. I want Morgan Adams in there giving her 2 cents.
You want receipts. You want
I want receipts. I want receipts. I want screenshots. I want all that. I don't give a rat's ass about the palette.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people feel that way.
Probably, yeah.
Also, I don't have, I would never buy it.
Mm-hmm.
I would never buy it. But it's expensive. It's not my thing. And I really thought this series was going to be about Dramageddon. That's what the trailer made it look like.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing with Rich Lux, a drama YouTuber.
That's right.
I started watching his videos too.
He's very funny.
And he was sitting on Shane's couch watching the James Charles video, the response to Tati's By Sister video, and he was like looking thoughtfully at it, and that was never in the series.
Yeah.
I wanted that moment. Also, Jeffree Star put out all these crazy tweets about James Charles and was like, James Charles, the Dolan twins are gonna be on camera with me. The Dolan twins were friends with James Charles, mm-hmm. But they're not anymore. Where was that? Where was that? Where was that? Where was that?
I think there might have been a lot of legal threats behind the scenes or something. That's what I heard.
Yeah. What do we think happened? What do you think happened?
One of two things. Legal, definitely.
Yeah.
That's fine. But the more fun way to think about it, the more evil way to think about it, is I literally think they were like, the palette did so well, we don't need to do the rest of the series.
Wow.
They got their money.
They did.
What's
get that
the point?
Money. Guys, we love Lola.
We love Lola.
We love it.
And you know why we love Lola? It's because, this is insane to me. The FDA doesn't require brands to disclose a comprehensive list of the ingredients in feminine care products. So most of them don't. They don't care.
Yeah.
Lola offers complete transparency about the ingredients found in their tampons, pads, liners, and wipes.
I love that. I thought it was just tampons, but they have pads, liners, and BPA-free plastic applicator or non-applicator tampons, which is amazing.
Great, because that's less waste. So
yes.
It's better for the environment.
They have cleansing wipes. It's actually, they're the first biodegradable all-natural wipe of their kind.
Which is awesome.
That's great.
And you can do good with your purchase because for every purchase, Lola donates feminine care products to homeless shelters across the U.S.
That's a big deal.
A big deal.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's great. I mean, if you're going to get tampons anyway, why not help another woman who needs it?
Yes, exactly.
Guys, I loved getting a customized box because I loved that I could decide how many of each little tampon I want. Each little tampon. I'm trying to make it sound cute.
Cute.
They're such cute little tampons. But yeah, I loved it. And I loved that it's an automatic subscription as well. So I don't have to stress about it. How many times have I needed a pad or a tampon and it's in the middle of the night and I'm in my house and I'm like, well, this sucks.
Yeah. For me, the ingredients thing is super important because I think it's so, I don't want to put chemicals in my vagina.
100% organic cotton. That's great.
It's really great.
Get 30% off your first month subscription using code SCAM30.
Yes, that is MYLOLA.com. That's great.
You, I feel like you may or not know this. Is Shane Dawson actually poor?
No, he can't be.
No.
Is that a scam?
No.
No.
And I wrote in my notes for this episode, Shane Dawson is not poor.
He's not poor. I watched Ryland's video on the house tour of their new house.
They have a ranch.
Yeah, his fiance.
Is land
Ryland
cheap in California where they are?
No.
No.
I don't know. I'm asking honestly.
Calabasas is not cheap. That's where the Kardashians live.
Gotcha. Shane is able to support his mom. Able to buy cars for people. This guy
is
not
poor. They're all G-Wagons. They're all driving G-Wagons.
Ryland has a G-Wagon.
Is this money? Where's this money coming from?
I think YouTube gives you money for views.
Right. I understand that. Is it that much?
It depends if your content is friendly for the website. I know a lot of YouTube channels. Basically, they make no money. A lot of people on YouTube that I follow don't make any money. I follow Jake Yancey, the guy who does all of the Drag Race recap videos, he makes no money.
Is it because advertisers don't want their...
Advertisers don't like...
They don't want to align with that.
It has to be squeaky like language. Clean. Yeah.
And they don't like their defunding LGBTQ.
Well, but Jeffree Star and Shane Dawson, one, are part of LGBTQ and also are not squeaky clean. Jeffree Star constantly jokes about sex.
But Jeffree Star makes
cock
his money
and dick, as Tati would say.
Yeah.
Jeffree Star makes his money on makeup. So in one of the episodes, they say every time he launches a palette, the launch makes $20 million.
And also brand deals. Jeffree Star makes a lot of money off of
Morphe.
Like Morphe, okay. Morphe codes.
So then, but Shane is making squeaky clean friendly content.
No,
now he is.
He's not, but sometimes he'll have these overall sponsorships. So when
like
it's
honey.
Embedded in a video of like SeatGeek and Honey.
That's the baked in ad. Mm-hmm.
Those are expensive. But I heard a fact recently, and I heard it on a YouTube drama channel, I think, that like Spotify pays every time, it pays $4,000 for every million streams. So that made me think that YouTube must have something like that, where it's paying a few grand per channel, per streams or something like that.
Like Trisha Paytas made like $8,000 off of her coming out video.
She did?
Oh.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. What a shitty video that was.
That was revealed on the H3H3 podcast.
$8,000?
They made her show.
Wow.
Wow.
How
many views was it?
I don't know. I should know. I'm writing a paper on Trisha.
So these people are getting money just for their views and not.
I don't
for
know really how
well.
It works.
Yeah.
But I know that Trisha makes AdSense money, but I know Shane makes a lot of AdSense money as well. And I really, really do get pissed off when he seems so amazed by the amount of money that people have.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like it seems condescending to the viewer. I'm like, you literally live in the nicest house I've ever seen.
I know, but part of me is sympathetic because he's a poor kid. Like, he grew up with a single mom. He comes from nothing. So it's like, it's the American dream. And I want to see him get rich and succeed, you know? So, like, when I'm watching the last episode of The Thing and I saw him go to the Mall of America and the whole place is, like, filled with people, I, like, teared up because I was so happy for him, which is a scam. Yeah. He scammed my emotions, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I feel the same way, Sue. I actually teared up a couple times during the documentary.
Thank you.
Yeah. I just get pissed off now.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Shane, I go back and forth with my viewing relationship with him, but I don't know. I just feel like the whole series was an ad.
Yeah.
And it's just like all the emotional, the ethos, the pathos, mm-hmm. the whatever-os. Like, it's just to get the palette.
Yeah.
Like, what clip, like, how can a clip of Shane Dawson crying not make you want to buy a lip gloss?
You know what? As an American in a capitalist society, sometimes ads work on me.
Same.
Yeah.
Especially
Visa
Instagram
commercials
ads.
Make me cry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instagram's really killing it right now with advertising mm-hmm. to me. So maybe we're used to it, you know?
Maybe
it didn't get to you, but it got to me.
I just think it's so fake.
I think an American dream story will always get to me. Like, somebody who, like, builds something from nothing, comes
okay,
from nothing.
Okay, but Elizabeth Holmes?
No, she came from money, though. She went to Stanford. Yeah. You know, that I don't care. If you come from nothing, if you come from an apartment with a single mom, I will buy what you sell, probably. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just think it's hard. It's hard for me because it's like, like, I love Drew Monson and I love Garrett Watts.
Mm-hmm.
They are just remarkable, funny, amazing.
Garrett
people.
Is the guy that's in Shane's videos sometimes, right?
Yes.
Drew,
yes.
I don't
tall.
Know.
Yeah. Drew used to be in his videos more.
Mm-hmm.
But Drew struggles a lot with depression. So I really identify with him. And I love those videos that Shane makes. But I don't know. It's like whenever he does this, like being so shocked about things. It just kind of reminds me of his apology videos for doing racist shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, as someone of color, like, it really just, I'm like, I see the fucking white guilt in the eyes.
Yeah. Mm.
And I see it. And it's like, I just feel like I can tell when somebody's lying, when they're like, oh, feel bad for me. Like, I didn't know. I didn't know. And it's like,
as a woman of color, you're less sympathetic. Like, that
completely
is where the buck stops with you. Like,
I think, yeah, I think it's just like, I feel like there's so also like, I think about the series and I'm like, all the series that he's done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about how he's given a platform to Jake Paul.
Yeah.
Said the N-word.
Yeah.
Had racist issues. Tana.
Yeah.
Said the N-word. Had racist issues. Jeffree Star. Said the N-word. Had racist issues. Well, that's so like the qualification.
Like he has like a brand for.
Yeah. And it's like there's so many other amazing people that Shane Dawson could be giving his platform to. Amazing, funny, talented people. Like, do a series on Drew Monson, please.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a genius. Or like, I don't know. There's so many other YouTubers that I just have more respect for.
Mm-hmm.
Jackie Aina.
Mm-hmm.
Like, talk about the American dream.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was.
Is she a makeup person?
Yeah, she's a makeup person.
I follow her. She's very funny.
She's an immigrant.
Yeah.
She was in the army.
Oh.
So she's a veteran. She is a self-made woman. And I just like feel like I have more respect for people that are able to have good morals and not give platforms to people that are so racist. But then again, it's kind of hypocritical because I do watch it.
Yeah, maybe it's like, you know, we're all relating to the people from our backgrounds that we see doing well. So you relate to the women of color. I relate to the poor white people, even though I know they're problematic and I shouldn't support them. You know what
I
mean?
And also it's like a generational,
Even
though like we are like technically of the same generation. It's like, you know, it's like, I don't know. I feel like I have less tolerance for people who just like do sucky things, but also I love drama.
Yeah.
I love drama. Like, I grew up on TMZ.
Yeah.
Oh that's God. True.
And like, YouTube drama is the TMZ of now.
Kate,
it's so fast.
Mm.
Kate, what's your opinion on the this American Dream situation?
Oh, the American Dream is a scam for sure.
Yeah.
I know that. It touches me in my heart for sure.
Yeah.
Like, every time I watch the Olympics, I'm filled with joy for
totally.
Our nation. Yes. But I do know that it's built on like marshmallows and nothing and air. You know, nobody has succeeded. You know, I work in a startup world and nobody succeeds unless they know the right people.
100%.
Yeah.
And that all depends on where you come from. There's the idea of like rags to riches is not real.
It's not real. You think.
But as entertainment, I do love an underdog story.
Olympics is a great example too. The Olympics. Because like, you assume that there are all these people just like making it, representing their country.
Yeah.
But they're rich kids.
Small town in Nevada. Yeah.
Yeah.
Their mom paid for them to go to
swim lessons.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But. You know what part of the series I did really like?
Mm.
Hate to go back to Morgan, but I truly
love her.
Yeah.
She is so cool. The part when she was talking, that was the drama. The part when she was talking about all of these girls that made her feel so self-conscious. And I feel like that was so real and so good. And she's, you know, I relate to her because she just seems so normal.
Yeah.
I have to, on that subject, because in the documentary, Shane asks Jeffree to help Morgan basically with her self-esteem issues. What is your feeling on the fact that like Jeffree Star and Lux, I forget his name.
Rich Lux.
These basically men, like non-traditional, what we would consider cover girls, changing like gender dynamics and makeup.
Mm.
Is that just like a side thing?
Mm,
I think
that's good. I
like
it.
Mm.
I think it's good. I think it's inspiring little boys to wear makeup, and I'm behind that.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
Yeah, I think that.
But maybe they could have role models that aren't racist.
You know, it's with. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it seems to be the thing, James Charles. And and I think it is amazing that there's men and women who are changing stuff in the beauty industry. I like that Jeffree Star's products, though, the names aren't like plumping lip gloss and like, you know, you need to change this. You need to change this, you know,
like Princess Sparkles,
like,
or anything.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think it was kind of silly for Jeffree to talk to Morgan about stuff like that, because it's like, he is a man.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't. Yeah. He's a white guy. And I don't think he can relate to Morgan's struggle of like, I don't know, mean girls on a brand trip telling her that she should get lip fillers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jeffrey has lip fillers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to know more about Morgan.
She's so interesting. And I like, she really just seems like someone who is so thrown into this miraculous situation of her brother being engaged to like one of the biggest YouTubers in the world.
Yeah. And she's trying to make the best of it, but is also kind of young and naive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I like that about her a lot.
I watched, she just went on her first date. Did you watch that?
I watched that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And she did a video on it.
Yeah. I love her. Have you seen this thing he did with his dad?
No.
No.
It's so good.
Shane did with his dad?
Shane went and found his dad.
Wow.
And filmed a video with him. Brought Ryland with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so good. It's so good. I think that's like the best video he's
ever
made.
Why is it so good?
He doesn't talk to his dad. And it was very emotional. And it's just really cute. And he is like, I never thought that my dad would want me in his life. But here we are.
So this, that you're kind of touching on something that I think, just to get back into the theme of scams. And so you work in media. An entertainment, you are an entertainer. And I think that YouTube is so unique because it's these people being their authentic selves. And you think they're really funny and endearing, and you like their background, and you like the way that they are with their friends on these shows. And it's the authenticity, which is now a marketing buzzword. And then also like the realness of their lives that we're watching that makes them so sellable. But then there's the question of like, and this came up in the Jake Paul documentary about how he's a totally different person when the camera's not on, or like Shane being a certain way in Ryland's videos or whatever. Like, these people are forever living a dichotomy where there's like a gray area of what is their life and what is YouTube.
Well, I think that that's one of the reasons that the series was like so frustrating, is that it didn't seem authentic at all, or like there was no personal stuff. And the parts that we're gravitating towards with Morgan are the authentic parts and the vulnerable parts, you know,
right.
And the, you know, parts with Shane's dad, or the series with Shane's dad. Like, that's the vulnerable thing. And that's what we want to see.
And
but
it seems real.
I don't know if it's manufactured authenticity or not, you know?
Right. Well, I'm thinking with Shane's dad's video being the first one of his long series, and it probably was super popular, he realized, this is the person I have to be in front of the camera.
Right.
Yeah.
In order to make money.
And
so is
he
scamming himself?
Yeah.
Are they
probably.
All?
I think
I'm
dad,
just posing that question.
The dad video is seems very real.
Yeah, of course.
And I think he probably was like, oh, shit. And it's hard to be that. Shane Dawson has this sense, this fake sense of like childlike wonder, that really annoys me.
Because he's an adult man.
Because he isn't. He's like 32.
In his 30s, yeah.
Like, and he's seen some things. He's 32. He was not born yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but that video with his dad was something that would evoke that feeling in him of being a kid, because like, he hadn't seen his dad since he was like 10.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that video was so good, but you can't recreate that. You know, you can't recreate
that. Oh, I think
he's
trying.
He's trying, but it just seems very fakey to me.
Well, and most of his viewers are young, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those are the ultimate.
I don't really know.
Oh, I don't know.
Because
he's
so many
doing
people
it for
bought
10
the palette.
Years.
Yeah, true.
Like, I think so many people bought the palette, and I think.
I'm thinking of Jake Paul. I know most of his viewers are super young.
I babysit kids that watch Jake Paul.
Right, it's so scary. Yeah.
Well, I think it goes into reality TV as a whole, is like, it's this manufactured authenticity. And when a season or a series gets too produced, it's like, that's when I stop watching. And that's when it seems fake and not real. Or like, even though I know it's like professional wrestling and it's made up and they're like, it's all scripted. I know that. But I want to see them being kind of authentic and kind of real. I don't know. It's weird.
Well, like,
but they are scamming themselves.
Would you have been satisfied with the series if they had manufactured a lot of drama and just been ridiculous?
If it was like a self-aware and a joke?
Yeah, or they just did what they seem to be doing all the time, which is trying to, you know, like most of the YouTube TV videos are like, so-and-so tweeted this and this person was upset, and it's never that high stakes.
Yeah.
But it's like very amped
up. I don't
up.
Know.
Did you like need that because of the trailer?
They came in with so many things, promises that were not kept. Mm-hmm.
Social contract was
breached.
I think
Shane also plays at like my mental health heartstrings too.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
His mental health is like seriously in peril. So it's like if someone who is that has those mental health struggles can succeed, then I can as well. You know what I mean? And that's mm-hmm. another thing. That
not to bring it back to Carolyn Calloway, because I know all roads mm-hmm. lead there, but all that's also a there. Reason that we are sympathize with her.
Yeah.
Even though she has a lot of the same problematic issues.
Of course. And that's why I don't think she's a scammer. I just feel bad for her sometimes.
So then is Shane a scammer based on that metric?
I think that Shane is a scammer okay, with this Shane situation. But he does play on my mental heart health strings as well. I think he needs serious help.
Yeah.
I think it kind of makes me worried mm-hmm. because the thing that really, I was talking to Sue about this. The thing that really gets me is that Shane doesn't change his clothes.
Never.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Which is he wears the same thing every day.
Which is a big tell.
Yeah, yeah.
But also,
he looks kind
of
smelly.
Shane had, this is so deep, far into the world of Shane Dawson. He had one pair of underwear.
Wait.
What?
How do you know this?
He used to talk disgusting. About it. And I don't know if that's an exaggeration or not, but like this pair of underwear was decrepit, crusty.
His house is pretty messy.
Yeah, I saw on Reddit person. That he used to keep pee bottles around. Like he used to pee into bottles.
Yes. Like 30 Rock Sun Tea, if you know that episode
that's
of 30
that's
Rock.
Some like Joker nonsense. But
he used to keep pee bottles by the bed. Mm. And I think, yeah, that's gross, but also that's very concerning. It makes me upset because I feel like he needs so much help. I think it's great that he's going to the gym, but also you need to go to the mind gym, which is the therapist. He takes pills.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't he go to therapy?
He never talks about therapy,
he has pills, but we never see him in therapy,
which is the trendy thing.
He only talks about Xanax and Adderall.
I don't love that.
I'm on board with these people are scamming themselves, and we are just getting to watch the train wreck. That's my thesis.
Or do you
statement.
Think that Jeffree Star is scamming Shane Dawson?
Jeffree Star seems to be very happy and doing well for himself. You're right.
And in their friendship, I love the way their friendship was portrayed in this series because he doesn't seem like a jealous little bitch at all. He seems supportive and he seems happy for him, you know?
Yeah. He's also giving up a lot of his business for free.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's which insane. Is crazy.
But I think he sees it as like a good marketing move because of how popular he is.
For sure, yeah, but like if...
And it'll bring
for
more
sure,
traffic
to the
website. But if
I worked on a project with someone and they like, you know, I know how jealous I get as an artist and as a performer. And like Shane's launch was way bigger than anything Jeffree has ever done. And Jeffree was nothing but supportive to him, you know, and to see.
Because Jeffree makes 50 cents on every one of Shane's dollars.
I know. Is that true?
That's true.
I think so. Yeah.
Hey, good for him.
I find Jeffree Star as he's definitely problematic. He is intelligent, though. He's doing something right.
He's a genius business. Right,
yeah.
You know?
Someone emailed us and was like, I can't believe that you're supporting Jeffree Star. And I want to say that I did not buy his palette. No. I bought some Morphe things. I bought a Jeffree Star concealer, which is very good, and a Jeffree Star powder. But I will not spend $50 on a palette. Never have. Never will. I spent like $16 on a Morphe palette, which is fine. And it's literally fine.
I am only Glossier. ColourPop.
Cool.
ColourPop.
ColourPop is the shit. Mm-hmm.
I buy Wet n Wild because that's my budget.
Yes. Yes. My girl.
I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
Or Elf. I love Elf.
Elf is amazing.
I love Elf.
Elf is amazing. Yeah. Gets no hype. Yeah. It's incredible.
Their makeup brushes are really good.
They are. I love them.
I have one more conspiracy thing, and then I want to know about your paper on Trisha, and then we can wrap it up. One of our listeners named BFF Corinne. Send us
BFF
Corinne, she's our BFF, send us some things about how Shane's use of conspiracy is a scam because
yes
YouTube
I heard this
optimizes conspiracy stuff and right wing stuff, and we'll put all this research in the show notes, but like basically Vice and BuzzFeed both did BuzzFeed did an article about how many clicks does it take to get to a right wing conspiracy video. And the answer is 9 clicks. So you start out at just a perfectly normal video, and then it gets to 9 clicks later, you're at this like crazy right wing conspiracy. Shane does all this conspiracy shit because he knows that YouTube optimizes it. And that's why he named his palette that and all this stuff. So that's a scam in and of itself.
I've heard, though, that conspiracy, the word, is something that triggers the AdSense, and you don't get you get demonetized immediately.
Really?
That's what I've heard. But also, I think Shane Dawson said that. So who don't knows? Know if that's true.
Just this Vice article said the author quotes this YouTuber, Mo Othman, talking about his channel. And he said conspiracy videos would get on average between 50 to 80,000 views, while non-conspiracy videos would rarely crack 10,000. He eventually started creating exclusively conspiracy theory content, which sometimes received hundreds of thousands of views. So, like,
can you send this to me?
Yeah, significantly more optimized with conspiracy stuff.
From what I understand about, because one of our shows, one of the podcasts on the network, Welcome to My Vagina, is also a YouTube channel, and they produce like sex education videos, like, you know, what's one that they've done, like masturbation. Mm-hmm. They'll talk about masturbation and like why it's good for you and why it's not a sin and all these things, and it's very like it's just meant to be educational.
Yeah.
And they get a lot of reaction videos from like men's right activists or like, you know, incredibly religious people. And so I wonder if what they'll do is they'll basically title it exactly the same as the video that was made by Welcome to My Vagina. And then it'll say like reaction or is stupid or whatever. And so the SEO matches.
Right.
And so I wonder if that mechanism, or at least that practice of people making reaction, retaliation, tea videos, spill the tea videos, if that's something that's like encouraging. The idea that you can like click enough to get to a right wing video. My father-in-law is like really into YouTube and apparently watches it while he drives and got in a car accident, which is a whole other thing. He's in North Carolina. He's not that smart. He doesn't know what podcasts are, so he won't listen to this. We've all done a thing like that. But his thing is he started watching YouTube videos basically for wellness stuff. He wanted to do meditation and feel better. And then now he like is convinced that we are all aliens and that like Trump is ordained by an alien god and like shit that is dangerous because people could take advantage of his money. Like he is definitely creating problems in the family because of this, because he doesn't understand that YouTube is not news or television. Alex Jones started on YouTube as well, right? Like, maybe YouTube is the scam. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a quote in the Vice article.
But they deplatformed Alex Jones.
They did do that.
They what?
Spotify took his podcast away, but not Apple, apparently.
Oh.
Maybe they did.
Okay, so in a tweet, this is from the Vice article. In a tweet, Dawson claims that YouTube deleted several of his videos, his conspiracy videos. It's noteworthy that this tweet was a reply to InfoWars' Paul Joseph Watson, which tweeted about Justin's feature-length conspiracy video, and Dawson said, "Love your stuff, by the way." So he's watching InfoWars, and he's trying to emulate that shit to get clicks. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's all I have to say.
But, like, if you go far enough, like, this is why Pizzagate became a thing, and it's bad.
Yeah. QAnon and Roseanne, and it's all connected to this community of people who know how to abuse gullible people.
And it's like mind control. Oh my God, I would love to hear your propaganda theory on this, Chinese propaganda theory on this.
Can you ask me a question?
Kate has a degree in Chinese propaganda.
I have Chinese politics.
Yes, you talked about it on the podcast.
Yeah. So
I'm a fan of this podcast. I listen to it all the time.
Yeah. Do you think this stuff is mind control? The scam thing that we're watching that made me like I was so deep and like I'm like I need to buy this palette like
or like the Chuck E. Cheese thing that Shane Dawson made us all believe.
What do you
that
mean
Chuck E.
That he was like
the Chuck E. Cheese pizzas are Frankenstein together with old slices of pizza. I firmly believe that, and like I believe that his palette is like good quality and we need to buy this. Like, is this mind control? Are they controlling our minds?
Yes. So there's a couple. I wouldn't say it's mind control. I would definitely say it's not really propaganda because it doesn't benefit anybody politically, unless you
maybe
think
Shane
that
Dawson
his
is like
to InfoWars
a right wing supporter.
Could Shane Dawson become a politician someday? Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, no, he doesn't talk about politics
ever.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there's a reason for that.
And he says, like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, right.
I'm not.
I mean, the biggest thing that's being utilized here is they're using fear-mongering and they're using the underdog storyline. And those are both things that can be used in propaganda, which is the idea, the underdog is the idea of, like, society and the world is built against me and you can relate to that and therefore you're on my side. Yeah. And then fear-mongering is just basically like, you know, that your Chuck E. Cheese pizza is made up of old pizzas and that's not terrifying, but, you know, you don't
but
want it.
Also, and that same...
Also, FOMO is a fear-mongering, too. Like, in the Chinese...
Absolutely.
In the Broken documentary, they were saying, like, people use a marketing technique of, like, oh, this is going to sell out soon, so get it quickly. So this whole thing was fear-mongering that we wouldn't get it. We wouldn't get the palette, you know?
Sure. Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. God, it's a mess. What about your paper on Trisha? Tell me all about it.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm in this class right now.
So cute.
It's called Theories of Humor and Laughter.
Aw. Uh-huh.
My teacher sucks.
Oh.
I hate him. But I'm writing a paper. We have to write a paper about a piece of something of art and then critique it, especially if it's like humorous art. And I'm going to be talking about Trisha Paytas. I'm talking about Trisha Paytas. Andy Kaufmanism and how every person I know, not personally, but know of in the modern age that has tried to be Andy Kaufman has gone completely fucking crazy.
Okay.
It's basically about how I think Trisha should blur the line between satire and real Trisha so it can be easier on her viewers to understand and her own mental health.
Can you give me an example of Trisha Paytas' humor? Because I don't watch her.
Oh, my God.
Just one.
Like, what is real Trisha and what
real
is satire
Trisha? Real Trisha, I think, definitely, if she dated this guy, Sean, like, in 2014, and they broke up, and it wrecked her. That was the beginning of her crying on the kitchen floor.
Gotcha.
And I think that's real Trisha. Crying, not being able to understand what's happening, why things happened to her. But then Trisha, a day later, will put out a video like, I'm not real, I'm a robot, like, I'm crazy. And then people are like, what the fuck?
Okay.
But I sympathize with Trisha because she self-identifies as having BPD.
Yeah.
And I have BPD.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a lot of myself in Trisha, which is a lot to unpack. But I understand why she goes to extremes. I understand why she posts things on YouTube. I know why she needs the attention when she needs it. But there's another element to Trisha where she becomes the character of Trisha Paytas, where, like, her video, I'm a chicken nugget. Have you seen the chicken nugget video?
Oh,
no.
There's this video. She was going through an incredibly hard time, crying for days on YouTube. And then she came out with this video called I'm a Chicken Nugget, where she was like looking at the camera, like deadpan, I'm a chicken nugget. I identify completely as a chicken nugget. When you're a chicken nugget, you do not feel delicious. I am a chicken nugget. And like, that is very confusing.
It's Andy Kaufman.
For I think Trisha the person and Trisha as Trisha's audience, because I think Trisha is starting to believe that, oh, maybe I am this crazy person. Which is something that I've dealt with personally. And it's like her audience is starting to believe maybe Trisha is this crazy person. They comment, oh, girl, you need help. Oh, you need help. You need help. And so it becomes this vicious cycle. And so I'm critiquing Trisha's work. Mm-hmm. And I'm basically saying, like, I think the line between real and satire, like her Shallow cover. If you've seen her Hamilton covers, she does covers of songs. She did like every song in Hamilton. She did a cover of Shallow from...
Are they good?
No.
Okay, great.
And
that's funny.
She did a cover of, like, I don't know, just a whole bunch of stuff. Britney Spears songs. And that's obviously satire.
Sure.
Especially her video where she covers Shallow.
Mm-hmm.
It is fucking crazy. But everyone could laugh at it and share it because it's like, oh, look at, she's doing this crazy thing. It's so funny. It's like, and I'm going to, go ahead.
Do you think her transgender video was satire or real?
That's what worries me. I don't know.
Well,
did you see this, Kate?
She is a transgender woman, am I correct?
She had she's a birth woman, and she had a whole video saying that she was a transgender male.
Okay. But the thing, in my abstract, I talked about Trisha using they, them pronouns. But then the next day, Trisha was like, you can use she, her pronouns for me, but I do identify as a man. And
she's on a journey, maybe, or this is all a joke.
I think we don't know. That she is figuring things out.
My understanding of Andy Kaufmanism, at least in the way that you're arguing it here, is that Andy Kaufman is revolutionary because instead of being like, let's make fun of this thing, let's make fun of me.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And playing the character 24/7.
Yes, right. Not and turning off.
It's just with Trisha, it's like very worrying. I think I can tell when she's joking, but sometimes I can't. And her video coming out as a transgender man is one of those times when I'm like, huh? Like, it's very confusing, but my paper is just going to be about satire and her and Andy Kaufman, and I'm so excited.
Yeah, no, that sounds great.
Could you publish it as your next
scene?
Oh
my god. Maybe.
That would be amazing.
I'm working on another
zine. I would love to, cuz I want to read that paper.
I talked about it once on my Instagram story and I got a whole bunch of DMs like, you have to put that paper online.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now I'm like, fuck, it has to be good.
No. It'll be amazing. I wonder if this is the first piece of cultural criticism on Trisha Paytas.
It's not.
It's not?
I found some scholarly articles about that include Trisha, about vlogging specifically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else we need to say about Shane and Jeffrey being scams or YouTube scam?
The conclusion is that they scammed. They are. Yes, absolutely. Yes, I think we're all unanimous on
this. It's an ad.
It's an ad.
They're scammers, but they're also
all the videos
themselves.
Needed hashtag ad.
You guys, this has been delightful.
Yes. Wow.
I have loved every second of this because when I try to talk about it with adults, they think that I'm crazy.
When I try to talk about it with my friends, I think that I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I love YouTube drama.
I just assume that everyone in your age demographic is like this.
I'm a rock. I am an island.
Whenever I pull up YouTube on my TV, like on my Apple TV, I like quickly go over to something so that people don't see what's being recommended.
I don't sign into my YouTube on
Smart.
My TV.
That's the thing to do.
Yeah.
I hide it from my husband for sure.
My boyfriend thinks I'm especially so silly. He's like, I don't get how you could watch this stuff for hours.
Mackenzie, you have a great zine called Here by Choice. Do you have a podcast
I do,
still?
But I don't have a website to put all of my stuff because I do have a lot of balls I'm juggling.
She has a lot of balls.
I have so many balls. But I'm trying to get a website in the works so I can have the podcast link. The information about the zine, and then also comedy.
Your Elon Musk videos, which are
my
amazing.
Elon Musk ASMR. Yes. Which,
what's the name of your podcast?
It's called Collection of Stories, and it's on Bandcamp.
Okay, only on Bandcamp.
Only on Bandcamp.
Why is it only on Bandcamp?
Because it seemed hard to put it on iTunes.
Kate,
we'll talk.
Okay.
Yeah.
It seemed hard, and I just want my content to be out now.
So maybe I can help you figure out Squarespace. Okay.
Yes,
I gotta
please.
Get you a little website.
Yeah, I need one. Link in bio isn't working anymore.
Yeah. In the meantime, you're Mackenzie on Instagram.
Yeah, MackenzieE, and I do lots of things, and I have taken up embroidery, so you might see some posts of that.
I love embroidery.
Same.
Yes. So Instagram, fun stuff. I'm on there.
And Kate, you co-host all the podcasts. Which podcast?
Every show I co-host. There Will Be Porn, which is about me and my childhood best friend watching vintage porn. Never sexual. It's always funny.
It is always. It's very funny.
And I host a podcast about fan fiction called World Stealers. Or we write fan fictions for Buffy, Star Wars, all of it.
Damn. We're all beautiful artists.
Yeah. All roads lead to Caroline Calloway.
Yes.
Well, Mackenzie, thank you so much. I can't wait to hear what your next correspondence piece is going to be for us. And we'll all stay tuned for that. And we love you so much.
Oh,
we'll
love you guys. Love you guys.
We love you so much. Bye.
Bye.
We'll be right back.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of supernatural horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the side of it?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
You to save yourself.
Of course.
What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.